This is episode 46 of the Microsoft Cloud Show. Today, CJ and I are going to talk about a new product that Microsoft released to Office 365 called Delve that's built on top of Office Graph. Recorded live September 11th, 2014.
Welcome to the Microsoft Cloud Show, the only place to stay up to date on everything going on in the Microsoft Cloud world, including Windows Azure, Office 365, SharePoint, Exchange, Link, and related technologies. Just the information, no marketing, no BS. I'm Chris Johnson.
And I'm Andrew Cole.
And we're just two dudes telling you how we see it.
Good day. How are you doing today, CJ?
Pretty good, thanks. How about yourself?
Doing okay. It would be a bit remiss to say, I guess as an American, never forget, because we're recording this today on September the 11th, 2014. So it is an important day, at least in American history. I would suspect it is around the world too. So
yes. Big anniversary, I guess. And I'm flying today too, so it's double whammy.
Now, where are you off to?
I am heading to Branson, Missouri.
Mm.
for those of our listeners who have been there, I'm sorry. And for those of you who haven't ever heard of it, I'll fill you in on how it goes next week.
It's a good thing that this is going to get published after your trip here, so that nobody, when you're there in Branson, hears this before you actually get there.
I'm only joking, really. I'm going to a SharePoint Saturday event, but it's a little more elaborate than a SharePoint Saturday event, and it's called SharePoint Palooza. In fact, So it sort of evolved from a SharePoint Saturday event. I think Mark Rackley runs it. It's in Branson, Missouri, which really is in the middle of nowhere.
Mm.
But he's putting on SharePoint Palooza, as the name suggests, has something to do with music. He's putting on a couple of day event where you have sessions on SharePoint and Office 365 and all those sorts of things during the day, and then in the evenings. He's got a whole bunch of bands and music and things lined up, and everybody has some social fun together too. So it's shaping up to be actually, you know, despite my jabs at it, I'm not jabbing the event, I'm jabbing the location. Shaping up to be a great event. So I'm looking forward to going, and I'm doing the keynote address on Friday morning for that. I'm giving away a Surface Pro 3 and all sorts of goodies. So,
oh my goodness.
I've got a bag. I call it my bag-o swag.
That's pretty cool. Giving away a Surface 3 Pro. Or is there only Surface
Pro 3?
Pro 3. Yep. There's no such thing as the RT anymore, right?
I think you can still buy them. I think.
Mm. Is it like Surface 3 RT?
No.
Oh, like that's like the original RT?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, not the original. Okay. During the Surface Pro 2 time frame, there was a new RT as well.
Okay, so there's a Surface RT and a Surface Pro, and then there's a Surface 2 Pro and a Surface 2 RT.
Yep.
And now it's just a Surface Pro 3 or Surface 3, but there's no RT in the third generation.
That's right.
Okay, I got it. Now that I was worried that we were starting to confuse everybody, but
well, more than likely.
No, yeah, I think that's part of my job too, getting all that. That'll be cool. So giving away a Surface 3, you'll be quite a popular person until you give it away.
We're gonna raffle it off, so it's gonna be a little more fair than me picking somebody.
Mm. I finally got to play with one of those firsthand this past weekend. Interesting device. Yeah, I walked over to the Microsoft store. Well, it's kind of ironic. I dropped my iPad and I broke the screen, and I was getting my iPad screen fixed. Actually, they just gave me a brand new iPad, which is pretty cool, for $40. But while they were going through and dealing with that whole thing, I walked over to the Microsoft store and I played with the Surface 3 for a little bit. So,
what did you think of it?
It's a nice device. It's definitely a nice piece of hardware, very nice device. I was a little disappointed that the one that they had, it had Office on there, but Office wasn't activated. And so you couldn't type anything or do anything with it. And so when I pulled the pen out to draw something in OneNote, it wouldn't accept anything because it wasn't activated. So it was like, you can't use it. So I was like, well, this is a kind of a bad demo implementation.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But I popped up a Notepad and I wanted to try typing on the keyboard. I wanted to see like how the hinge worked on the kickstand. I wanted to shut the whole thing and hold it and see what it was like. So, and take a look at the screen. So firsthand, yeah, it was an impressive device. It was an impressive device. It's definitely the nicest piece of hardware that Microsoft has ever released.
Yeah, oh, without a doubt, I think. Yeah, I use one for my daily driver, so to speak, like my daily machine.
Hmm.
And it would be hard to go back to a bigger laptop now. Much harder.
Yeah, I think it is. They've done a really good job with it. They've done a very good job with it. It still is not for me personally, but that's only for the way I like to do stuff. So it is not. I'm not. I like to take my laptop and I like to sit on the couch or in a chair or at a coffee shop or whatever, and I like to have it on my lap and work. Mm. And I pop the thing off, put it on the kickstand, and put it on my lap, and it's still, because the keyboard is not. Just because of the decision they made, which is I was going to say flimsy, but that's not accurate. Because it's a soft keyboard with a detachable connection, that's not like a hard kind of, you know, attach. It's more of a clip kind of a thing.
Friction keyboard, like a friction hinge or whatever.
Yeah, and then and the way the kickstand works, it gets a little floppy on my lap and everything. So, that didn't sound right. still talking about the Surface. It's not for me, but I definitely recognize it. Definitely a very nice piece of hardware.
Cool. What else is news?
So next week, while you're at a conference in Branson, Missouri, actually right after your conference in Branson, Missouri, I'm going to the full name is probably SharePoint Technology Conference, but I'm going to the SP TechCon conference next week in Boston, and I'm doing a workshop and 3 breakout sessions. Be a fun workshop because it's basically, I think they call it like introduction, overview of the modern, of development in the modern Office 365 SharePoint world. So it's, I'm doing, you know, 4 parts. 1 part is all about what is SharePoint, what is a farm, what's a site collection, what's a site, what's a list, what's a library. Second part is, what are features and solutions, sandbox and farm, and when would you use them? Second part is, what are apps, the app model? And then third part is CSOM REST API and app identity and security. So it's targeted to people who have no experience in SharePoint. If someone comes in there saying, I've been doing a bunch of SharePoint work, it's like, you're not going to get anything from me on this one.
Yeah, gotcha.
But it's a high demand one. But the neat thing is that I'm personally going to moderate 2 panels. One's on the whole thing on-prem in Office 365. And then another one is about the new world of like SharePoint development. So I'm moderating 2 panels. And then there are 2 other panels going on. One of them is about the SharePoint forms story / InfoPath.
Oh, yep.
And then the third one is about a governance thing about when do you go from, I think it's going to the cloud or something like that. But I'm going to moderate the 365 / on-prem one on Tuesday night. And then I'm also going to moderate at 10 o'clock on Thursday. I'm going to moderate one on the new world of SharePoint dev. And so by the time this episode comes out, if you listen to it before Tuesday night, come and join us. But the cool thing that we're going to do is that for 3 of these panels, I have locked away some time and received confirmations from almost all of the panelists to sit down with me, and we're going to rehash the entire panel for future episodes. And so you and I I'm gonna try not to participate too much in the rehash and be more or less just the facilitator and let the people kind of repeat the questions that went up during the panel. And then you and I will listen to the pieces, and hopefully the following week we'll be able to have time to record an intro and an outro to each one. And depending on how much we get, we may end up getting a bunch of episodes out of this. And so I guess you and I have to decide, will we have 3 weeks of content there, or are we just going to push them all out at once? Because, you know, if we wait 3 weeks, then it's somewhat dated. So
yeah, gotcha.
I don't know. We got an option there, but yeah, it'll be cool to kind of grab that content. So I think that people will really enjoy it.
Nice.
The result of it. But I am doing something new next week at this conference that it's new for me. It's new for the 99% of the people that I see present at conferences. It's not an original idea. I got this from somebody presenting at a third party Angular conference. And then I saw it again at this conference I did locally in Jacksonville called Code on the Beach a couple weeks ago.
Sounds intriguing.
I'm not using PowerPoint at all.
Huh.
My entire presentation.
Hold on, wait. My whole universe is imploding in and on itself. How does this work?
I am not using PowerPoint at all. I have given slides to the conference, and there's a title slide, and then there's an about me slide, and then there's a slide about IT Unity and a slide about the podcast, but there's no content in the deck. It's three or four slides. The important part of the deck is one URL, and it's going to point to a public GitHub repository. The entire presentation is going to be done in GitHub.
Huh.
And I don't mean like demo. I mean like there is a presentation that I have. It is all written in Markdown, and it'll render in the browser. And I'm just going to scroll through, and where you would normally have slides, I just have an H1 or an H2 and bullet points.
Gotcha. Oh, that's pretty interesting.
So over the weekend, and by the time this podcast gets released, I'll have a blog post that will explain, number one, why am I doing this? Because as a presenter, I tell you, I'm knocking out these presentations a hell of a lot faster than I was in doing it with PowerPoint. I'm nothing against PowerPoint, but me personally, I'm not proficient and very efficient when creating PowerPoint or editing PowerPoint.
Hmm.
But so that's one, why is it important to me? And then why everybody else that's going to be in the session, why I think that they will like it.
Yeah.
But then how I would suggest you use it. Because if you think about this, one of the ways I used it is the guy put up the link and said, follow along. It's right here on GitHub. So if you have an internet connection, and let's say you are or are not savvy, it doesn't matter. But you can get either, if you're savvy with Git, you can clone the whole repo locally because it'll be a public repo. If you're not, you can download it as a zip. But here's the cool thing. As I'm going through the presentation, if you want to add your own notes of something that I'm saying that's not in the presentation,
you just fork it.
You can, well, if you can go real source control and you can clone it and then fork it and add your own stuff and even submit pull requests to add to my session, but you can add your notes to my session as we're doing it and not trying to take your notes and merging them with a PowerPoint deck.
Yeah, I see. Yeah, that's pretty cool. So you just start, you pull the Markdown file down,
yep,
like zip or whatever, and then you start adding it right there.
Yep.
That's pretty cool. I like that idea. You have to let us know how it all hangs together.
Yeah, I will. It's been fun. I was doing it for the workshop, still putting a few things together, but two of them are completely done. And I'm trying to do this thing with, and I don't know if it'll get done in time, but trying to do this thing with JavaScript where I can, when I go to present it, I can like click a link and it adds like a bunch of spacing between all the H1s so that things don't get like overlapping and stuff. So yeah, so it's pretty cool. But yeah, I've gone like gung-ho and deep dive into using Sublime, the text editor. So I got a blog post I'm gonna write with that about how I do it. And then I also gonna have a blog post about doing this, doing a presentation using GitHub and how to use it. And then I've got another blog post coming too as well that's gonna be about presenting from a Mac because I found some pretty cool tools. But
it's all on.
Yeah.
You have to report back and let us know how it all goes and what the audience reception is to that.
I'm very curious. When I've been in the audience, I've loved it. And so have other people around me. So it's going to be interesting to see if this translates well to the SharePoint crowd. It's going to be interesting if the concept translates to the SharePoint crowd. It's going to be also interesting if I can pull this off. So
yeah, yeah.
Two different things.
Very cool.
And I guess this week, we could be the people or we could not be the people that have the discussion about our own opinions on the Apple keynote this past week about the new watch and the new phone. Do you want to do it in our podcast? You want to just say, hey, we're not doing it.
Let's do it, but let's do like 10 seconds each. Like the two liners, right?
You go first.
Nice looking phones, bigger phone, about time, not so sure on the watch.
Gotcha.
This is going to be a real test for you, I know.
This is going to be really tough. Mine's not going to be a two-liner, but I promise I'll keep it under 30 seconds.
Okay.
Right? You got a stopwatch?
I'm watching.
I've already lost my 30 seconds. All right. So new phones, cool on iPhone, cool on the 6. Looks kind of like a new age iPhone 1 with the rounded corners. iPhone 6 Plus, way too freaking big for me, but I get why the market's been asking for it. I get why Apple did it. The watch, initial reactions were kind of, that's interesting, but not really. But now that I've watched the keynote, I really am interested now and intrigued on the fitness and the health aspects that it will do, especially as a runner. I'm incredibly interested in it. So am I going to go rush out and buy it? I'm not going to say that just yet. I want to learn more. But I thought that if you are one of the people like me that were out there,
I'm not kidding.
Oh, come on. last bit. If you're one of the people out there that was like me and you tried to watch the stream of the live keynote and watch it fail miserably. We won't go on to that. This biggest thing we learned is that Apple can't do a streaming keynote. They should talk to Azure. But I downloaded the keynote afterwards. Fast forward to the big classic pre-recorded John Ivey classic white background thing. Watch that segment. It's about halfway through. Then watch the following segment by a VP do a hands-on demo. And then watch the next segment after Tim Cook talks doing with the pre-recorded fitness bit. That's the part that's interesting.
That wasn't bad. That was pretty quick.
Yeah, pretty quick, actually. Very well done. Very well done.
Woo!
Nice. Yeah, it was interesting. But I not quite for me, but I can totally see people's excitement for bigger iPhones. So,
dude, that now you just over, that's more than a through liner. Now that's another three lines.
I had to fill in the extra to get to 10 seconds, you see.
Oh.
just messing with you.
Oh, you almost did. You almost dropped it.
Almost.
I'll be curious to also hear how people like this show, like our new show, because we had last episode 44, episode 45. This is episode 46. So those three have been mixed down by our producer.
Yeah. I listened to the last episode with Si Young, and it sounds great.
Look, that was a great episode, not for the content, and it wasn't because of me, it's because of Si Young. That was exactly what Microsoft needs to do at a conference, just say, here's the thing.
Yeah.
And then,
but it also sounded great.
Yes, I think it sounds much better than when I was editing it. Yeah, so curious what other people think. But
excellent.
At any rate, okay, now let's jump onto the body of the show.
Sure.
Is you have a flight you have to catch? Actually, you got to pack, and then you got a flight to catch for Branson, Missouri.
Yeah, I have to shower first too.
What do you take to Branson, Missouri? Do you have to take food? Do you have to take water?
I was going to say strong medication, but yeah, a coffin.
A banjo? Hey, Mark Rackley, we love you, man. You're putting together a great show, and I'm really happy to see the community step up, help you with some funding stuff, and you've got a bunch of registrations and stuff. I wish I could be there. I wish the timing worked better for me. So good luck for another show, and by this time, I'll see you in Boston, and I hope it went great. Okay, body of the show. This past week, Microsoft released a new product. And it was introduced at the SharePoint conference earlier this year in March. And it was introduced under the name Oslo. And then it was renamed, got a real product name. And this week, Microsoft released a product called Delve. D-E-L-V-E?
Yep.
Is there an E in there?
Yeah, there is. Yeah,
D-E-L-V-E, Delve. So we will have in the show notes links to the announcements for Delve. I'll have one to the initial introduction on the blogs.office.com site that was back in March. And we'll also have the announcement as well when Delve went live this week. We'll also have a couple links from some media, like Mary Jo Foley wrote about it, PC World has an article about it, The Next Web has an article about it. I'll make sure I put all those in the show notes. And then there's also there's been a bunch of blog posts out about it as well. So what is Delve? Now, let me I'll quickly explain it, but then I got some questions for you about it, because I personally have some challenges in being able to take a look at it myself for reasons that will be pretty obvious. And it's not a Microsoft problem. It's just an aspect of the product.
Hmm.
But so what is Delve? The idea behind Delve is that it uses some sort of an intelligence engine to look at content, parse content, index content from multiple sources. Today, that's coming from SharePoint, from, I believe, Exchange, and then also Yammer. Today, that's all Office 365 stuff. So you're all talking about cloudy things. And from the sweet bar in Office 365, I would assume by now everyone would have it in their Office 365 subscriptions. And if you don't, it should be rolling out to you soon. But it takes that content, it indexes it, it runs it through some sort of an engine. It looks at relationships between the content, between people, between the content and stuff. And then it tailors a result set for you. Is that a fair explanation, would you say?
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm only kidding. No, I think that is a very fair explanation. So, back at SPC, it was called codenamed Oslo. And first up, I think there are two confusing bits to this, right? Some people are confused between Delve and what's called the Office Graph. So there are two parts to the puzzle. The Office Graph is the data source for which Delve is built on. So Delve is the application that sits over the top.
It's the UX.
It's the user experience, yep. And then Office Graph is where it pulls its where it queries and where it pulls its information from.
Mm.
So that's the first part to note. And Delve, the web-based Delve that you see when you get it in your Office 365 tenancy, that's the first experience over the top of the Office Graph. So there'll be others, and people will also be able to build their own or hook into the Office Graph and build their own experiences over the top of it to build similar sort of stuff. So that's the first thing to clarify, is that when some people say Office Graph, some people say Delve. Delve's the app, and then Office Graph is the thing that powers it behind the scenes.
Okay, so a couple questions about it. Now, I have a hard time demoing it or playing with it, even though it's in my tenant now, because I guess I call myself a small business, but I'm a small business with an employee size of 1.5. Me being the one, my wife doing all the back office stuff, I better not say the half. I'm the half. My wife is the one. My wife is the one. I'm the half, I should say. But she does a lot of the back office, my billing and stuff like that. So she does use, we do both use SharePoint to store stuff and keep, and like projects and track and where invoices are and stuff. But my Office 365 footprint is very small.
Yeah.
My Exchange Online footprint is very small. It's just a couple of mailboxes. My Yammer integration with Office 365, I believe, is even smaller. So here's my first question for you. It's because I do have my own network in Yammer, because I saw the writing on the wall that if you create an account using your company email address and then you leave that company and you lose access to that email address, you also lose access to that Yammer account, because you can't change your email and you can't transfer. So I was like, I did that with my old company, and then I said, I'm not joining any Yammer networks with a company email. I'm doing it with my personal email address.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay. So I have a Yammer network that essentially has a bunch of Yammer apps in it and groups and stuff that I've used to play with the API, but there's no content in there.
Yeah.
Will Delve pick up the external networks and index the external networks for me that I belong to from my account in Office 365?
I don't believe so.
Okay. So then for someone like me who's a single person, whatever, using 365, then it's hard for me to be able to explore Delve, because I don't have real data to play with. Someone that's in an enterprise like you.
Yeah, there's nothing feeding that, right? There's nothing feeding the graph, all of those signals. So what it does behind the scenes, right, is it goes and looks at all of those data sources and indexes them, for want of a better word, right? So all of that stuff that it goes and looks at, we call that signals, right? All the signals that are flowing into the graph.
Mm-hmm.
And without the signals, there's probably a little bit missing to the whole puzzle for you.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fed by signals from those locations. The biggest ones are obviously SharePoint data, like documents and so forth, and Exchange, and then also some social signals too. And then the final thing to note there is that eventually we'll allow other people to put signals into it.
So I could have, like, I could write some add-in to where, or Salesforce could write an add-in to where they would inject stuff from Salesforce into the Office Graph for people in the organization, salespeople, whatever, relationships with customers. You could do that if, like, Skype can have it with, like, chats and stuff. Link could have it with, like, chat. Okay.
Yeah, like a good example is, say, a CRM system or some sort of line of business system, maybe for, I don't know, process automation or manufacturing or something. And then, you know, say in a CRM system, somebody adds a note about a customer, then it could push a signal into the graph to say, you know, Chris has updated this customer record or added a note or something like that.
Mm, okay. Okay. Yeah. So just to be clear too, I when I was explaining where it's a challenge for me, I was not trying to say anything negative about the product. I get what the product's all about. It's just hard. I have some questions for you to help our audience better understand this for the rest of the episode. That was not me saying anything negative about the product. It's essentially the same thing. If I jump into Facebook and I have absolutely zero friends and no one friends me,
right.
I'm going to say Facebook sucks, right? So
yeah, so that's the first thing. The two things there, the the app Delve, and then the Office Graph, which is what powers it.
Okay, so going to that now I didn't realize there were two very distinct things. So let me ask you this: with the app Delve, what Delve is surfacing, I'm going to say this, and I'm trying to think of a better way to say this because it comes across like I'm saying something negative about Delve, and this is not at all what I'm trying to do. Is Delve just a dumb client for the Office Graph? Like, are all the relationships and all of the related content and stuff, is all of that baked into the Office Graph, or is Delve kind of figuring that some of that stuff out?
No, it's pulling it all from the graph.
Okay.
So there, we'll link up to a thing on in the show notes. For those developers or people that are interested, we posted an article on MSDN about how to use what we call the graph query language, which is the way you query the Office Graph. And it talks about the data model, the graph query language, how to call it, all of those sorts of things. Now, the thing to note about the APIs is that at the moment, it's just querying. And it's not pushing information into the graph. Make sense?
Yes, does make sense. So I guess it would be a fair comparison to say that Delve is very much like Outlook or Outlook Web Access in the sense that it doesn't store data. It's connecting to Exchange where all the data resides. So Exchange would be like Office Graph. Outlook would be like Delve.
Gotcha. Yep, that's right.
Okay. And forget about POP. All right, let's not get detailed with that thing. Let's just keep it simple.
That's confusing.
Okay. So cool. Yeah. Okay, that's cool. So yeah, we'll definitely put that in the show notes here. So
it's pretty cool. Just one more thing on the dev thing. It's interesting from a dev point of view because it shows up just like another SharePoint API. So you go to your site /_API/search/query, and then you put, on the query parameters, you put your graph query language. And you can query.
Could you use that too, like in a content search web part? So I could drop a content search web part on it, and I could pick that from a list of content sources.
I'm not sure about specific content sources. I think so, but it just ends up being REST, so you can query it from a bunch of different places.
Okay, that's cool then. So you could actually integrate some of the stuff coming from the Office Graph. Then you could integrate that into your intranet, or you could integrate that into your team sites. And then probably do some additional filtering and stuff to modify the results that come back. So it's not so much you would be sending people over to Delve all the time. It's more or less just doing the Office Graph side. So, I mean, is Office Graph, would you say then that Delve is really just a great, like, just the great advertisement or the great UX and a case study or use case of how to use the Office Graph API?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, so that, like I said, it's the first experience, right? There are going to be others. There'll be mobile ones and native ones and all those sorts of things potentially. And likewise, if you've got some sort of app that you've written for your company, then you can go query the graph and use it to show stuff.
How customizable is the experience? Like how much when I go into the app, is it just saying, here's what I recommend for you? Or is there a way that I can pivot and say, I'm only looking for specific things or?
Yeah. So I guess it depends what you mean by customize. But so from a developer's point of view, there's very little you can customize.
Okay.
So you can't go in and start jigging around with our UI and all that sort of stuff.
Okay.
From an end user's point of view, there's a few interesting things you can do. So like at the beginning, when you were sort of introducing it, the idea is that, rather than just a white page with a search box, that Delve is giving you suggested information, right? And it does it through this series of cards. So it shows information on like a little card interface, and it has a nice little image and a title and a short description and information about that particular thing. But it takes a really good stab at what you might be interested in, and it figures that out based on who you are and who you interact with and what people are working on around you and so forth, and then surfaces that up. So for example, I go into it And I can see, hey, this work colleague of mine has published a new version of a particular PowerPoint that I'm interested in, and I can go grab it, take a look at it, and see what they've changed. Also, you mentioned the word pivot, and there are some interesting pivots in the product that you could do if you're looking for information. So on the one hand, that first scenario is when I was going to delve and getting it to suggest stuff to me that I might be interested in. But there's other interesting pivots where I might be looking for specific stuff. So for example, I go to lots and lots and lots and lots and lots of meetings, and usually there's PowerPoints involved. And so because Delve is getting signals both from Exchange, so it knows what meetings you're going to, and also from people who are also going to that meeting and who've also just published PowerPoints, it can marry the two together and it knows, hey, you went to this meeting XYZ at this particular time and Joe Schmo presented a PowerPoint at this meeting. So it marries the two together and says, I can pivot and Delve and say, show me the presentations that were presented to me.
Okay, that's pretty cool. So I could I also then say, like, could I pivot on that meeting? So so I could see like discussions on Yammer that came from that meeting, or things from PowerPoint came from that meeting, or emails that came from that meeting.
You can pivot around the things like the people and the documents itself. So you can see stuff that's related, that might be related, but it's not, say, a view just of that meeting with everything that happened at the meeting. It's more about the content and the people and the things that happened there.
Okay. So Delve then doesn't, are you saying then that Delve doesn't so much know that it was a meeting, and it doesn't kind of then have like a measure or a metadata piece that says this was related to this specific meeting? It can just see that it just ties the fact that these documents were from this person. This person was at this, was tied to you in this, that happens to be this event. We'll call it a meeting. So I'll show it to you.
Yeah. This relationship. Yeah.
Now that is that something you think that we could, that we might see down the road? As that kind of puts you in a weird position being on the product team, but let me say something at a different point. And if you want to jump in, you can say something. That would be cool then if Delve had some sort of insight into events or specific topics, like we're talking about a new product like Oslo, right? Which is Delve, but let's say we were talking about Oslo, and then I can see that, oh, there's this Oslo thing. Pivot the people that are around me that are talking about Oslo. So I know that the guy 2-3 doors down actually is working on some stuff, and I can interact with him because I can pivot on a topic, not so much the document or pivot on the person. I could pivot on the actual topic as well, adding a third kind of,
yeah, gotcha.
a third pivot point instead of it just being a 2 points.
Isn't that search? Like, in that scenario, I would go into Delve and I would type in Oslo and search for stuff about Oslo, and I'd get back documents and all sorts of different things about that topic.
Well, but you would, but isn't the value prop from using Delve / the Office Graph is that it would be doing that same search, but it would be doing it in a context of people that interact with me. So it would be like me doing a search query that says keyword Oslo, and then filter people close to me or 2 degrees from me.
Yeah, well, it's doing that in the background, right? When I go search for Oslo and Delve, it's not pulling up stuff about Oslo from some random person on the other side of the company. First, it's going to highlight the stuff that's closest to me and the most, what it deems the most interesting to me. And it takes into consideration who I work with and what is the most likely relevant content.
Oh, so I might have misunderstood what you said then. Are you saying that I can go into Delve and I can actually type Oslo and it does that filter for me? Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so you are saying that.
Yeah, so if I want to know about a particular topic like Formula One, right? Then I'd go in and say Formula One, and it would come back with a whole bunch of results.
Oh.
But it's not just like the regular old search ranking 10 blue links, right? It's giving me back the information that it's got, obviously, but also what is the most relevant to me, not just the document that, say, Bing would have put to the top because of its relevance in the universe, right, for Formula One. It'll say, Jeremy Thake, yeah, might have been working on a PowerPoint about Formula One, and it's likely that that would be first because of our social distance to one another in the organization. So things that go into Delve are like, around the relationships, are things like who you're meeting with, but also who you're emailing as well. So it can tell who you're interacting with. So it figures out who you're closest to and who you work with based on stuff like that. Mm. So that's how it knows kind of what would be the most interesting.
Okay. So like on the, like would you say like on the, like the F1 thing, so I guess it'd be dominated by a bunch of Mercedes stuff and then a bunch of Ferrari complaining yeah. and bad stuff there, right?
Yeah, maybe.
And if it's Jeremy, it's going to be a bunch of Red Bull stuff and Vettel stuff, so.
Yeah. So that's, yeah, exactly. Mm. So that's one pivot, the presented to me pivot. There's a few other pivots. Shared with me is another pivot.
Mm.
So I don't know if, you know, if people use SharePoint today, this will really resonate with them, right? Say I share a document with you in SharePoint. And by sharing a document, what I mean is I go into, say, OneDrive, and I put a document in my private OneDrive folder. And then I click on it, and I say, I want to share it with AC. And so it sends you a email and says, hey, Chris shared this document with you. So you go read the document. You think it's awesome, of course, because it's from me. And then you forget about it.
Mm.
And then when you come back, it's a pain to find all of the documents and the things that people have shared with you, because the documents might be all over your SharePoint environment, you know, 50 different sites. And it's always hard. You don't know. You've got to search back through your email, try and find that invite link, that shared link. But Delve has this shared with me view where you could go see content that's just been shared with you.
Mm. And then you could search just your shared with you content.
Yeah.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's other ones like Modified by Me, so you could see the documents you've edited, the things you've edited all across your environment, so not just on a particular site or library.
Mm.
So you can go into that view and see what you've been working on. There's Liked by Me, Viewed by Me, all sorts of things.
Oh, wow. So if you're this definitely sounds very appealing. If you're a 365 customer today and you have got, you do a bunch of your work already in Exchange and in SharePoint. You have discussions in Yammer with additional signals going to be added into it down the road. This definitely sounds really interesting.
The final thought on this, the last pivot that I'd mention is the sort of the people pivot. So say if I went in Delve and I saw a document you'd been working on and I click on your name, I could sort of pivot on that person too. So I can go in and say, hey, AC works with, you know, this person, that person, and the other person. You could see who their peers are and so forth. And then who they work with based on who they're meeting with and who they're emailing and that sort of thing.
That's pretty cool.
Mm.
That's very nice.
Yeah, it's insightful. You know, it's one of those things that if you're used to searching, like with Bing or Google, it's kind of a little bit different, right? And it takes a bit of getting used to, at least in my view. But I find myself going, oh, I wonder what this person I met with is working on, or I wonder if they've updated this document, or I wonder if they've, you know, posted something. And so because I'm starting to work with them, that stuff gets surfaced more and more frequently. And so you end up discovering things. It's not searching and it's not browsing. It's discovering is the way I kind of describe it to people.
Mm, that's cool.
It's like the third pivot of finding content.
I tell you, it got a lot of a very positive and a very good reaction at the SharePoint conference. And seems so far that people have been pretty interested with it, that as it's been trickling out through 365. Unfortunately, people that I'm interacting with most directly and most commonly about it that are not inside Microsoft are very much like me, like, in, you know, solo entrepreneurs,
yeah,
or independents. And so we don't have a lot of data. So it's hard for us to kind of show a lot of enthusiasm for something when you can't really play with it. But
yeah.
So I think
it's one of those demo data painful things, right?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, you really need some live data to do it.
I've got a funny story about this though. So we demo this to customers and things all the time, right? And we have demo environments for it, but sometimes you kind of get caught with these ad hoc demos that you need to pull off.
Hmm.
And so I just log in, I just go to Delve in our regular Office 365 environment for Microsoft. And it's a little bit of a lottery about what comes up because I don't mean in a bad way. Well, it could be construed as bad,
yeah.
But you know, sometimes it's like Q2 feature plans and disclosure
yeah.
plan.
Yeah. It is a lottery. It's stuff that you don't want to disclose to people sometimes.
Right. Sometimes it's not the best demo content. Let's put it that way.
That's gotta be a hell of a challenging demo to do then for a conference or something. I mean, I know that something like BI is tough because you need a lot of data to kind of play with. So it takes a lot of time to build up the data. And if you want to do search, then you got to deal with that. But you got to search data sets. But like with Delve, I mean, you got to load in a whole lot of Yammer content, a whole lot of Exchange content, a whole lot of SharePoint content, and have a whole lot of people tied to that content, having those interactions.
We have demo tools that load, you know, automate the loading of demo tenancies with all of that content, and that helps drive it.
Yeah. That's a challenge. That's a job in and of itself, I bet.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, cool. Anything else you want to add about Dell before we wrap this up?
Final note, go check it out in your Office 365 tenancy. People who've flipped the first release lever on should get it first, but it'll trickle out over the tenancies over a period of time. So if you don't initially see it in your top nav, there's a couple of ways. You go talk to your admin and they can opt in to getting it sooner. Otherwise, hold tight and eventually it'll show up.
And I think that you guys, there's a link on one of the blog posts from the Office Dev Blogs, the one that came out on September the 8th, titled A Milestone for Office Dev. I believe that there's a FAQ at the bottom and it says, is there a way for customers to see Dev sooner? And it explains how to do it. So if anybody's interested in that and they don't actually already see it, then... Yeah, so I'm looking at my tenant now. I'm first release, but I don't see it yet. So
it'll still be coming for you. Yeah, it happens in stages.
There won't be much in there anyway. So
yeah,
I won't be able to get a lot of value.
And the only other thing I'd mention is I'm you know, from a dev background, I'm interested to see what people build on this thing. That'd be fascinating.
Well, that's always the fun part when you sit there and you have cool things like this. And what was it? That was one of the best Microsoft commercials I ever saw. Was the one about, it was with Kinect, and it showed for Xbox, and it showed, it was on Thanksgiving Day, I believe two Thanksgivings ago, or maybe last Thanksgiving. And it was where they were saying, you know, here's all the stuff, there's all these cool things that we've thought of, and it shows stuff that Microsoft had come up with and some partners and stuff. But then it went to like a terminal window and somebody was typing. It said, but the really cool things are the things we didn't think of. And then it showed people doing stuff like, using Kinect to do different things, like play violins and people. But cool new product, getting a lot of good press out of it, so that's good for you guys, and hopefully something that people can go dive in and take a look at pretty soon and use and start extending and play with the Office Graph and figure out what you can do with that. That'll be pretty neat. We have to talk more about, have a bigger discussion about Office Graph on a future episode. Cool. All right. Thanks a lot, CJ. Have fun in Branson, Missouri. Make sure you take your water.
If you have a question for us, go to microsoftcloudshow.com/questions, where you can submit it as text or record it as a WAV or MP3 and provide a link so we can play your question on the show. You can subscribe to us in iTunes by searching for Microsoft Cloud Show or via RSS. At microsoftcloudshow.com, where you'll also find full transcript and show notes of each episode. You can also find us on Facebook, searching for Microsoft Cloud Show, or on Twitter, at MS Cloud Show. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.